Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. 7:05 in the morning, Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. January the 25th, 2011, and we are rolling today. We have a great lineup of guests. We have just all types of things to talk about. And you can join us at 530-605-4567, or we are streaming on KCNR1460.com. Go to the webpage there, and it says on air. Click on it, and we should come on right then. And you can join us in our chat room. Linda's not here. She is on assignment this morning, trying to get the... I know it just seems like a mundane task, but it's not. The plumbing in the house. You've gone through the winter with us with the heating, the electrical, and now it's the plumbing. It seems like in the last 3 weeks, the house has said it's time for a little bit of a facelift. And as we had our first anniversary on the radio, it's having its 60th anniversary this year, so we're going to get that fixed up. But I am joined by Bad Bob. Good morning, Bad Bob.
Couldn't help but notice there's much more light in the sky, and it was absolutely beautiful this morning as we were coming in. Looks like a lovely day in January.
It is. Man, you know what? It's going to be like that. You know, today's weather, it's going to go up to 74 today. It looks like we have a brand new record for Redding at 74. It's normally in the low 60s right now, but today mostly sunny with a high near 73. North-northwest winds, maybe between 9 and 11. Now, stand by for like the next 2 weeks. We're going to have some pretty good weather. I think there may be some fog coming in, maybe a slight chance of rain on Sunday, but mostly sunny with a high near 56. That's Sunday. The rest of the week is going to be great. Now, frankly, that just means that everybody's plants, gladiolas are coming up, buds on the tree and all that, and I can't help it, Bad Bob, I can't help but think there's going to be another freeze someplace between now and the end of February.
It has been known to happen many times in the past. We have known snow in March in these parts. So, as I said yesterday, the concern among the agriculture industries are that crops down in Tehama County and the nut crops and all that will get started. The buds will come out, and then a freeze will hit, and that'll cost them dearly.
And then will cost us dearly, mm-hmm. if you want to buy those. Now, we talked about a lot of things yesterday, and we had some phone calls. We're going to follow that up with the Redding School Board. But also today we want to talk about, and we're going to get ready to take our first break. Today we're going to be talking Red Cross, state of emergency. We're going to be talking to some people in from Hayfort. We're going to talk about the impact on the marijuana growth the marijuana industry has had in their town and on people in Hayfork. And it hasn't, we laugh about things, and we're going to be talking about things that are somewhat amusing when it concerns, medical marijuana and things that are happening. But for the people that are in the middle of the district where it's being grown, it's not so funny. This is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning, 7:11. It is 43 degrees. It's going to go up to 74. You know, the weather's always brought to you by Anselmo's. They've got a bunch of new things they're doing up there. We're going to have John Stadelli from Anselmo's. He will be here Thursday. And we're going to be talking not just recipes and great food, but also, some political topics that we love to touch on. Speaking of political topics, if you remember yesterday, we got some phone calls from some people that were heading out to the Redding School Board. Said they were going there because they were holding a special meeting, and they had just come out with the agenda on Friday. And that when they got in there, that it was some things going on they thought were somewhat nefarious, but as it turns out, maybe not. But the bottom line is this. Is the Redding School Board voted to give teachers who decide to retire this year. These are contractual types, not just anybody. These aren't like, assistants and to the librarian and that. This is just the contractual types. If they will retire this year, they're going to, and by February 22nd or some date like that, they're going to give them $15,000 incentive pay to do that. Plus, they raised the medical amount they were giving to the unions to $9,000 a year. And there was a lot of consternation yesterday because people felt like, wait a minute, first of all, they waived the Pledge of Allegiance. I'm not sure how you can waive the Pledge of Allegiance. And probably somebody on the Reading School Board needs to tell me about that. It's, and I did call the superintendent yesterday after the show, and we talked about what was going on. And the thing is that the complaints yesterday was that, well, they gave nobody a chance to speak. They just went on and did it. Well, after watching the tape that the Reading Tea Party put up, they did give a chance. They did give a chance. What they said was she read it out, and there's a call for a public comment twice. And the president of the school board read it twice. And she read it and looked around. She says, no comments. And then they went on, and they voted. The meeting took maybe 4.5 minutes. So what happened yesterday is the school board decided to give, if you're going to quit this year, you're going to get $15,000 to do that. That way we don't have to lay off so many teachers, et cetera, et cetera. And we can hire back on teachers with less experience. Less experience means less money. It doesn't mean that they're not qualified. It just means they haven't been teachers long enough very long. Okay, now, the other thing is how do you pay for this? Well, they decided to take away 3 days of the teaching, so they're going to pay for it like that. So they're teaching 3 days less a year. It makes up for it. I may not have that one exactly correct, but essentially, this is what happened yesterday. There was time given to give the opinions. Nobody chose to do it. It was an unusual meeting at 7:30 in the morning, from what the superintendent said, that it was that was the only time they could get everybody together, and that they had to vote on this quickly, that this was, it had to be done in 2 weeks from the time that everybody agreed on the contracts. My only concern on this is this. Now, this is pretty important. Reading School Board has had some, other allegations against it, and they've had some changes in it. In the leadership there, it seems to me in something like ratification of the union contracts that there maybe a little bit more time should be given so that the citizens, the ones who are paying this, especially from that district, should know what's going on. I just wonder how many in the district knew about it, one, and how many of them knew about the meeting, so they could come down and give comments. They're by law that on a special meeting, they call this as a special meeting. They only have to give a 24-hour notice. Well, they sent it out Thursday night, so everybody got it Friday morning. Anyway, we said we'd go back and cover that and see what happened, and that was our follow-up on it from yesterday. Okay, hey, let's go to the phones. Don,
Good morning.
I wasn't going to stand in line for an hour just to talk to you, Don.
An hour and a half? You wouldn't wait? I want to thank you and Linda for the great promotion. Many of the brides and their mothers had heard about the show from KCNR. It was wall-to-wall brides. The comments were raves about the show. The vendors were pleased with the brides and their questions and their inquiries. It was an exciting day.
Well, how do you get that many people into one building?
We controlled the flow.
Well, I tell you, we came down, and as we talked about yesterday, we came down just to park and to say hello. We've been down at the station, and then, and this is Don Shulman, my friends. He's got the bridal show, or bridal talk on Sundays from 12 to 1, and he's having a show. As so many people knew, we couldn't find a place to park, and then we looked at the line to get in. There had to be 100 people waiting just to get in line, and this was early. This was around 12 or around 11:30.
Unfortunately, the line stretched to 300 people at one point. We had probably a little more than 1,100 people come in. And, of course, next year we're going to have a facility that's three times the size with plenty of parking. We're already planning it for next year, and people are excited about the various prizes and being able to budget for your wedding and speaking with the professional vendors. It's amazing. I and we did the show live right there
Yeah, I know. Bob has still got patches of his hair missing where he's been pulling it out.
Hey, Don, Bob here. I did pass along your thanks to Brenda for having our back when we had some technical issues, which we overcame, and she was an integral part of that process, and she said it was fun to work with you.
Well, thank you. It was. She was very, very helpful, and it's good to work with professionals, I'll tell you that. It makes a big difference. The brides, what amazed me a little bit was we were speaking to some of the brides live, and several of them said, oh, I listen to your radio station on the way to work every day.
Well, that's what they're supposed to do.
We had an amazing percentage of people who came from the radio show. Close to 22% came from the radio. It was amazing.
Well, that's great. We like that.
And then KCNR specifically.
Well, you know, we try to pass that along to people. We won't mind. We wouldn't mind having a 22 rating. Hey, Don, we got to run. We got a spot here. Do you have something else?
No, just a great big thank you, and keep on doing the great job you guys are doing.
Okay, Don, thanks a lot. Hey, we're going to take a quick break here, and when we come back, we want to talk about. Are you one of the types that when your dog comes up, or your kitty, or your horse, or your pet pig, you just can't help from giving that little love bug a hug and a kiss, or letting them lick you? Not so fast. Tune in after these messages. We're going to tell you why. Carl on the Bot, Free Fire Radio. 1460, come back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460. Carl on the Bot, Linda's on assignment this morning, 7:22 in the morning. January the 25th is going to be a great day, about 74. UC Davis researcher warns against kissing your pet. That's right. He says that people who allow their pets to lick them, give them kisses, or sleep with them are at risk of a variety of diseases known as zoonosis. Conditions can range from mundane to life-threatening. Frankly, Bruno Chamel and co-author Ben Sun, I don't care. Throw this away.
Is a real word? That sounds like something,
yeah, something they made up.
That's what you get when the monkey throws poo on you down at the zoo.
Tell a lady who's got her little pet pug sitting in her lap, I'm sorry, lady, but you're going to have to, you know what's going to happen? Look down the line. I got something that's dated 2025. You know, when you have tofu turkey instead of real turkey for, and that you're looking under the special lights, and that football is no longer a contact sport because it's too rough. Anyway, watch out. Zoonosis. Okay, now this is a serious one. California, and you're going to hear it first right here. You ready there, JDR and Indy and Angel? The controller, John Chang, says his agency is going to start looking at the books of local entities charged with improving blight. They're going to audit 18 redevelopment agencies. As you know, we were talking about redevelopment agencies yesterday with Mark LaSalle. And what they're doing is this financial probe comes amid a deepening fight over the future of the California's 400 redevelopment agencies, which control about $5 billion in property taxes. Many city officials, including those in Los Angeles, when they said they were going to take that money, responded by taking hasty steps to transfer billions of dollars from their agencies to city control in a preemptive bid to keep the money. And there's a lot to be said for the redevelopment and the enterprise zones, which they want to start pulling all this money out of. But the agencies, so now Chang says, hey, we're going to audit these agencies and see where the money went to. Agencies said to be audited were chosen to create a mix of large and small entities, and they include Los Angeles, Fresno, San Jose, and the counties of Sacramento and Riverside. They also include Anderson in Shasta County, Placenta in North Orange County, and the border town of Calexico. Anderson. So now we'll get a probe from we'll be one of the people that John Chang is going to look at. So yeah, that should be interesting. You know, and here's what it is that money's being used, Bad Bob, to, you know, like in the, you know, as we were talking yesterday, help hire people to get to do this, to build things, all of that.
And there have been questions about what some of the money was spent on and what defines redevelopment. But, yes, I think that they may be inclined to throw out a baby with bathwater, that you do need something to kick-start the process. And I think that as I said before, throwing away your seed or eating up your seed corn is generally not considered a good idea.
No, it's not. Okay. We have, since we have guests coming on at 7:30, we want to talk about some other things, 7:30 and 8. Pot soda, soon to be at your local medical marijuana dispensary. This guy is starting it. $12 to $15 a bottle for those that really, you know, feel that, you know, gosh, smoking it just isn't doing it for me anymore. And those cookies that I've been cooking, that I've been baking, you know what, I need to wash them down with something. So I'm going to use this can of cola or Dr. Weed. This is true. This guy's going to do it. He doesn't use medicinal marijuana because he says, hey, I don't feel bad. Anyway, he's going to try to start selling it, and supposedly it's already being sold in other places. But pot soda coming to your nearest medical marijuana dispensary. And, okay, two other great bits of news here. Well, Volkswagen right here in River City, looking at they're gonna put a service center out there, but now it looks like the owner of Chico Volkswagen wants to start to selling used Volkswagens in May. And it appears that the car business is coming back here in Reading, slowly but surely. As you know, Kia took Subaru and expanded, and Lithia is wanting to expand. That's great news. Because when people start buying cars, they're, you know, the economy has started to tick up at that point, but it also has the amount of taxes that are being paid, everything that goes along with it. Now, these two, I have to admit, made me laugh. The Illinois court on yesterday threw Rahm Emanuel's name off of the Chicago mayor ballot.
How about that?
Not only is he the front runner with millions of dollars he's raised, a shoe-in for this job. He had everything going for him but one thing, according to the judge. He didn't live in Chicago. For a year prior to the running. And the lower court judge said, well, yes, he did. The next level said, no, he didn't. He didn't live here. It's you know, whether he's qualified or not is not important. The fact is he did not live here. So now they're going up to the Illinois Supreme Court. And then, of course, the news, and maybe I'm just behind because I don't listen to it. Listen to MSNBC, but it looks like Keith Olbermann is leaving MSNBC. Did you see that, Bad Bob?
He's gone,
and you know what? I can link this directly to Alana Burke coming on from 12 to 1 every day right here on KCNR. It took her 3 weeks to get Keith Olbermann off the air. You know, so we've got to applaud Alana for her great work. But Keith Olbermann, as you know, if anybody's been following, you know, the show and me, is the fact is that I don't like Keith Olbermann or his attitude. I mean, I don't know him personally. I mean, he could be really nice to kids and, you know, lets his puppies lick him. I don't care. But he comes up with things that are just so far out there. That most, you know, most terrible person of the week or most horrible person of the week. I mean, come on. I mean, what is that? I mean, you say, oh, it's just tongue-in-cheek, but he's nasty about it.
Snarky. Very snarky.
He's nasty, and he said things that were just absolutely, you know, uncalled for. And the other thing too is that, you know, when he was given a position where he should be a little bit more down the middle, he didn't. When he was at the conventions, he was just a cheerleader and giving money to people that he was supposed to be reporting on. The whole thing was snarky, as you say, Bad Bob. Okay, we're going to take a break for news here. And when we come back, we're going to be talking Red Cross Emergency. And after that, we're going to be talking the problem with marijuana and hay fork. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Here on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media, Carl and Linda Bott. Linda is on assignment today, or trying to get the plumbing back in the house so that we actually have plumbing in the house. We love that. 7:34 in the morning, January the 25th. It's going to be a great day today, 74. This portion of the show is brought to you by Lumberjacks, 501 East Cypress. We're going to talk about breakfast specials. It's that time of the morning. Head on down there, Monday through Friday. Can you imagine having ham and eggs, including hash browns, two eggs and toast for $3.99? Bob's ears just perked up. Bob, $4.99 chicken fried steak and $5.99 New York steak and eggs. You're not going to find a better deal, better people, or better food in this town. That's Lumberjacks at 501 East Cypress. Breakfast specials Monday through Friday. Okay, we're here with... We've been invaded by the Red Cross. Mary Stevens and Yvonne Preston. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Okay, Mary, we're going to be talking about new programs that the Red Cross has.
Yes, we're really excited about this. In the past, the programs that we put on, you come to us, we set up the appointments, you come for CPR, first aid, AED. You'd have to go to work, get off work, you're hungry, you're tired. We want you in prime condition to be ready to save lives. So we've come up with a workplace program where we come to you. You call us, you tell us what you want, we streamline it to fit your needs. You might say, well, you know, we're a bunch of loggers. We don't want the infant CPR. We want to address issues that deal with adults. Piece of cake, here we are. We'll streamline it to fit your needs. You only pay for the courses that you're given. We make sure that you're properly trained. You can respond to emergencies. You feel comfortable responding to emergencies, and you're ready to save lives.
Okay, so Mary, I say, okay, I want my people to learn CPR. There's a chance I might have something, infraction or something, and I want everybody around me to know how to jump up and down and pump my chest there. So you say to me, okay, Carl, when do you want me to come over?
Absolutely. We bring the materials to you.
You bring those little dummies, things that you pump on?
Oh, little dummies? Well, for you guys, we'll bring the big dummies.
Okay.
We sure do.
We've got enough big dummies around here already. Anyway, so you'll bring all the equipment, though, and then come in at the time we want you to.
We set the time with you at your convenience. You might want us to do half your staff one day, half your staff the other. It's your convenience. Red Cross wants to train people to be ready. We don't want somebody coming after work that's so exhausted and hasn't eaten, they're not paying attention, because what if we're the ones walking on the street and we pass out, we fall down, we have a heart attack? We want our people to be trained to respond as if they're responding to us.
Great. Okay, so now how do people get a hold of you?
You call the local Red Cross branch at 244-8000. Sign up, tell them what your needs are. We'll streamline it for what you need.
What's your job there?
My job, I'm a full-time volunteer. Matter of fact, I'm a professional volunteer.
We're being amused by this, because she is obviously sold on this. And she's just, hey, this is what we're going to do. If I'm walking down the street, I want Mary around me someplace, okay, if I fall on the ground. So now, can you do deep wound cuts and all that?
Absolutely. Our first aid class will teach you how to take care of puncture wounds, impaled objects, avulsions. What if you're out
just
in the woods?
Party.
Oh, it is. I tell
sounds
you what.
Like the last party we had at the house. We needed help for all those.
You know, I'm a nurse and a full-time volunteer nurse. And I love what I do. I love teaching people. I love preparing people. About 2 months after I took my first CPR class, we ended up responding to my husband's father. We brought him around until the ambulance could come. We got to say our goodbyes till the next morning. And had we not known CPR, we wouldn't have had that goodbye.
You know, we've been somewhat jovial this morning, but I tell you what, knowing CPR is probably one of the most important skills a person could learn, because it's something simple. The compressions of the chest will keep somebody alive. They've even changed the way you do CPR. I guess they're putting more emphasis on the compressions and less on breathing. If I listen to the PSAs that's on here, they talk that way.
You know, things change over time, and Red Cross is really involved in this. Right now, even though the public wants to not put their mouth on somebody else, it's really important. I feel, and Red Cross feels, as changes come about slowly, this is one that we're just not ready to jump on, because the breaths are important. Professional rescuers, nurses, doctors, EMTs, firemen, we still do the rescue breaths. But no, if somebody's uncomfortable doing it, I'd rather you be jumping on my chest, pumping up and down, than nothing. But for right now, we're teaching
them. Keep giving that breath of life.
Absolutely. We're still doing full CPR, though.
Bob's getting all excited over there. Hey, bad Bob. It's okay. We're just talking about CPR here. Well, you know what, Mary? Thank you so much for coming by today.
Well, thank you.
So all these programs are dialable in the sense that you can bring them on the road to a business, and you'll give them the CPR classes, just everything, right?
CPR, first aid, and AED. Whatever you want, we bring.
Okay, give us that phone number one more time.
244-8000, and tell them that you're interested in workplace training.
Okay. Wow. All right. Anything else?
Nope. I hope we have the phone ring off, because the life you save could be mine.
Okay. That's the Red Cross. They're going to go on the road with their classes for first aid, AED, and, of course, CPR. And I do. I urge people to learn how to do the CPR. That they had many years ago, and I guess they still do it in Seattle. They had a big push for everybody to learn CPR. Kids, young adults, everybody. And they say they saved hundreds of lives that first year. People on the street that dropped, and people were like fighting each other to give them CPR. I think it's a great idea, and I think it's great what you're doing, Mary and Yvonne and the Red Cross. So thank you very, very much.
Thank you for having us.
You bet. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio at KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. 7:42 in the morning on January the 25th, 2011. It's going to be 74 degrees today, my friends. It's going to be a beautiful day. This portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive, finest walk-in cigar humidor in the state, Espresso Joe's with great coffee and other drinks. As it's getting warmer, they can give you icy drinks, too. They're great Americans. They support our community. That's Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Now, let's go to the phones. Hey there.
Well, good morning, and I was on the phone this morning. I'm not in the station, obviously. I've been on the phone with my Oscar connections, and, of course, this morning the race turned into a wild scramble as the King's Speech took the biggest number of nominations with a total of 12, and, Carl, you'll be happy to know that True Grit took second position at the Oscars. As you know, in the Golden Globes, it did not do well. So
it's because it's a bunch of foreigners that are voting on it. What the hell do they know?
I agree.
True Grit got 10 nominations, Best Picture, Best Director, as well as Jeff Bridges for Best Actor, and I'll get into that in a moment. The Social Network, which seemed a front runner as well, in the Golden Globes, was matched by Inception and followed closely by The Fighter in gathering nominations for, of course, this 83rd Academy Awards. Let's go into quickly, I'll give you a rundown of who is up as the Best Picture, Black Swan, The Fighter, Inception, The Kids Are All Right, The King's Speech, 127 Hours, The Social Network, Toy Story 3, True Grit, and Winter's Bone. As you know, just a few years back at the Academy Awards, they decided to increase the Best Picture category with more to select from. It used to be just the same as six as the Best Direction, Actress and Actor. Best Direction will be Darren Aronofsky in Black Swan, Joel Coen and Ethan Coen for True Grit, David Fincher for The Social Network, Tom Hooper for The King's Speech, and David O. Russell for The Fighter. Actor in a leading role, for those of you who are big fans, like I know Barbara is, and so many of our friends that love to make the Academy Awards.
Barbara is right here, too.
I know, and she loves the Oscars as much as we love the Oscars. I think it's been a very big part of our life. Javier Bardem in Beautiful, this is actor in a leading role. Jeff Bridges in True Grit, Jesse Eisenberg in The Social Network. James Franco in much-talked-about movie 127 Hours, and Colin Firth in The King's Speech. We also have an actress in a leading role, Annette Bening in The Kids Are All Right, which, really did so many wonderful nominations at the Golden Globe. Nicole Kidman in The Rabbit Hole, Jennifer Lawrence in Winter's Bone, Natalie Portman in Black Swan, and Michelle Williams in Blue Valentine. And then we can go on to actor in a supporting role is Christian Bale in The Fighter, John Hawkes in Winter's Bone, Jeremy Renner in The Town, Mark Ruffalo in The Kids Are All Right, Jeffrey Rush in The King's Speech, and lastly, actress in a supporting role is Amy Adams in The Fighter, Helen Bonham Carter in The King's Speech, Melissa Leo in The Fighter, and Haley Steinfeld in True Grit. See, We're so happy that Haley Steinfeld was able to have actress in a supporting role, and much deserved. I think we're going to be fighting for her. Jackie Weaver in Animal Kingdom. And we'll have more to come as we do some of the 83rd Oscar coverage here on KCNR 1460.
Okay.
There will be a quiz.
All we know is that True Grit was 10, and we are so happy that the Westerns, which many of you know, Carl and I met at the Academy Awards, somewhat like the Academy Awards for Westerns, and it's so nice to see a Western be second with nominations, 10 nominations of Oscars, and that's a wonderful thing. So we're happy to see the Academy take knowledge of really a great movie. If you haven't seen it, everyone needs to get out there and see it.
Okay. Well, hon, thanks.
All right, Barbara, you guys take care, and I got to get back to the green room.
Okay, honey.
Take care.
Love you. Bye-bye. Okay, well,
wow.
That was good.
Yeah.
Well, she said, you know, she says, I'm going to talk about Oscars today. And I went, okay. Our guest, Barbara Harrison. Barbara is well known for being just all around town doing everything. But today you're talking about
Desserts First.
And what exactly is Desserts First?
Desserts First is the fourth annual event put on by the Record Searchlight. And we have different businesses here in town come in with all luscious, luscious desserts. You walk around and just eat your little hearts out. And it's $20 and from 5:30 to 7:30 and be held at Turtle Bay. We really set it up really nice. It's a great venue to do this sort of thing.
And it's a fundraiser?
It's a fundraiser, and it goes for Riverfront Playhouse. Still trying to build that theater.
Okay. And I know there's a lot of things going on lately for Riverfront that that have been through here that we've been backing. But this sounds, from everything I remember about this, this is really a great way to...
A lot of fun. A lot of fun.
Yeah,
we have
fun.
We have a raffle.
Good food too. Yeah.
We have a raffle, and we have a silent auction. We've got over 90 items in a silent auction, so that should be kind of fun. But we just need to get the tickets going and get it out there.
And right now we have two free tickets. That's right, two free tickets that can be, and that'll be next...
It's February 9th.
February 9th.
On a Wednesday from 5:30 to 7:30 at Turtle Bay.
Okay. 5:30 to 7:30 at Turtle Bay, and it's desserts and so much more.
Yeah.
With the that's not the name of it, but it's...
Desserts First.
Desserts First, then you're going to have a bunch of auction items, and it's going to a good cause, Riverfront Theater. Okay, the first person that calls, not emails me, doesn't get on the chat room, pick up the phones. The first one that calls, or first listener that calls, will get two tickets for...
There it is.
Okay, I didn't get a chance to finish, but anyway. But what we are going to do is, now that Bob has a phone in his right hand and a pen in his left hand, is I'm going to take a break. This is Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott at 7:51 in the morning. It's going to be 74 degrees today. It's January the 25th, 2011. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. And this portion of the show is brought to you by B&T Satellite. Doug Tooley puts in Dish Satellite. His phone number is 244-1988. He's in a new location. He's moved to 1345 Liberty Street right down here in Reading. Doug guarantees his work. We use Doug. We've been very happy in the service and the professionalism of his crew. So if you want Dish and get access to all this great TV, just give them a call at 244-1988. Our guest is Barbara Harrison. And, Barbara, we gave away tickets pretty quick.
Yes, we did. And a lady named Nancy won them. She can come here to the station on Market Street and pick up the tickets. They'll be up at the front desk with her name on them, so... hope you have a good evening, have fun, and eat lots of chocolate and fun stuff. And
I'm sure they will.
Go to our little auction. I wanted to say one more thing, Carl, if I may. Tickets are on sale at Graphic Emporium on Pine Street. You can also go online, Record Searchlight, and you can make your purchases online.
And further, our dessert show here.
Yes.
Well, you know, you're involved in other things, too.
Yeah.
We've got the huge... crab feed coming up.
Huge crab feed.
Yeah. Huge crab feed. Let me tell you something.
You should see my house.
We go to crab feeds. We go to crab feeds. Linda and I do. We support the different. We support the different agencies doing it, of course. And we go and we see a lot of people we know. We have friends there, and And I have to admit that, you know, yours is really great.
It's the best.
It's, well, we don't use words like best here, but we really enjoy it.
I use best.
I know you do. It's hard to compare crab feet.
It is.
Now, there is one that we will never mention again because that one was last year was...
Disaster.
I thought I had... Never mind. Anyway, but this one you all have is really good. And
Sensibility puts on a good one, too. Oh, that's a lot of fun. Yeah,
well,
that's
a
great one.
Anderson.
Yeah, Anderson Rotary. Oh, God, they're
awesome. Well, you know what? Come to think of it.
They make our clam chowder.
I know. There's very few... You know, come to think of it, there's few of these that I go to. I really... don't enjoy a lot, but yeah. I really do enjoy what you're all
doing.
Well,
you should see my house. Because of the auctions at both of them, I have all the goodies in my house for the auction. I have some, one is in the one bedroom, and then the other stuff is in the dining room, and I have to keep them separated for two events. It looks like a warehouse.
Now, and Bob, Bad Bob, you're going to be there too, aren't you?
He is our main man.
Absolutely. It's going to be, in fact, we are... building large projection screens at the shop even as all this week, so it's going to be fun. We enjoyed the heck out of it last year.
You did a good job last year too. We really appreciated you.
Well, that's great because we're going to be there.
Yeah, I caught it on your Facebook that you were really working.
I'll start posting pictures of the construction process because
we're
building. Last year's screens were made out of wood and a bit flimsy. Where this year they're made out of what they call Unistrut. And they're industrial.
Wow. I'm impressed.
So you still have tickets available?
Yes. Yes, we do. You can go online as well for the crab feed tickets. And, they're $40. Call Christy at Women's Refuge if you want to get a
Saturday.
Table for eight. Yes,
that's
I know.
A week from Saturday.
Gary.
Yeah.
We got a lot to do yet.
Okay. Well, Barbara, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, you know, we always enjoy that and always enjoy having you on.
Thank you. Thank
you. And this is, everything is always, you always come in for something that's a good cause.
I try to be involved in good causes.
Yeah. And things that, you know, with the way the economy is and the way the government is not quite sure what they're doing at any time, we end up helping each other here in River City and in the North State, and we're always behind that. But I notice that you're always right in there, too.
I try to be. I try to be. Don't forget desserts first, February 9th, Wednesday, 5:30 to 7:30, Turtle Bay.
How do they get a hold of you? Or tickets?
Tickets at Pine Street Graphic Emporium or online with the Record Searchlight. Fourth annual that the Record Searchlight has put this on, so it should be a good time.
Well, great. The Record Searchlight.
Mm-hmm.
Some of our favorite things. Okay, well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Carl.
Okay.
Hey, Linda, watch Good Morning America. Okay. They're announcing the Oscars. I watched it at 4 o'clock.
Hey, one of the things we wanted to talk about that had to do with the Redding School District was the former school librarian there that was accused of embezzlement turned down a plea deal this week, and she was arrested last August and charged with... grand theft and embezzlement for allegedly stealing more than $13,000 from the Sycamore School Parent Faculty Club. Turned down a plea deal yesterday and is expected to return to court. So, yeah, that's, she's fighting it out. So that's a
huge deal.
It is a huge deal. Anyway, okay, now here's the latest that people for the Obama have started leaving his administration. The latest is his climate advisor. A key climate change advisor to President Barack Obama will step down soon. Carol Browner, White House coordinator of energy and climate policy, will stay on as long as necessary to ensure an orderly transition. In this third year, Obama has unveiled a number of staff changes following Republican gains in the November congressional elections. He's got a new chief of staff. He's got General Electric co-chief executive as his top outside economic advisor. General Electric. I think there's things about General Electric, though, that we need to think about. I think
a little further.
Yeah, because, you know, General Electric, I think, had dealings with Iran, I believe. Yeah, that's one of those things. Then they're talking about the different they're not even sure who's going to take Browner's position. I think Browner was one of those czars. You know, a czar. You know, you start even using the term czar, it has something to do with just automatically, even though you may have heard it before, but as soon as you hear the term czar, you start, I start getting on the back of my neck.
the hairs start going up. So
I can see it now.
Yeah, what can you say? Other news that we have is that with the house values, what we're looking at looks like the car business is expanding in Shasta County and up here in Redding, which is absolutely great news. And by the way, Record Searchlight, we went at it last week because it was all just bad news. And then this week already you've had about how the restaurants are starting to come back. Three are trying. You know, it's one of the things we said last week was it's not always bad news. There's lots of companies out there. There's small businesses that are fighting, that are starting, and that they're succeeding. You need to talk about it. Well, they've started. And then today, even though the housing trends are the lowest they've been in 4 years, and it's a four-year drop, they again talked about, hey, the retail car business is starting to pick up a little bit. Yeah, let's balance this out, because when people look at Record Searchlight and they look at it online, I think it's millions of hits a month. They look at it all, and I think this is balancing it out. I really like that.
You know, there's a little credit that can be due for the Chamber of Commerce on the automobile deal. They had a big campaign latter part of the year last year, and I think it helped the automobile business. I really do.
I think you're right. Chamber of Commerce is important to our community, too.
They did a good job
too.
With that.
Hey, this is Carl Lindebot. Join us after the news. KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
You're listening to KCNR Shasta Redding.
Free Fire Radio. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. 8:05 on January the 25th, 2011. Our phone lines here are 530-605-4567, and if you go to kcnr1460.com, you can listen to a stream and you can hop on into the chat room. 44 degrees, and it's going to hit a new record today down here of 74, anywhere from 71 to 74, but any way you look at it, it's going to be a nice warm day, and it looks like it's going to be like this for a couple of weeks. So Mother Nature is playing with this. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Mike's Music. You know, Mike's Music is off of Cypress Avenue, a great place. He sells, he sells all types of instruments. Not only that, but Mike then has great deals on teaching people an instruction in music, music theory, and how to play all these instruments. His phone number is 243-3774. He's got a studio there. Linda uses it. She thinks it's great. She really, really supports Mike. And Mike's Music. Again, 243-3774, right off Cypress Avenue. Our guest today, one of the things we've talked about is what's going on up in Trinity County. I've taken a trip up there on a little fact finder, because you need to see things up there. And we have people that write to us or call us all the time about the impacts or the changes in Trinity County and over what's happening, and it's not just now, but over the last decade. And today we have as our guest Jim and Lynn Jungworth, and they're looking at the impact that on the public laws community, that things that have been happening up there. So good morning, Jim.
Good morning.
And Lynn.
Good morning.
Okay, now Lynn, you are a member of, or you have a business. That is
right. I run a little nonprofit called the Watershed Center.
Okay.
And we started up after the spotted owl kind of shut the forest down.
Okay.
And so we've been working with the local people there, trying to do some economic development for a long time.
Okay, and that's what your organization does. It's economic development, then.
Especially around natural resources. So training people to take care of the forest, restore the fish, take care of the fire problem. That
okay.
Kind of stuff.
All right, and Jim, you had you've been in the logging industry or the wood industry at least.
Right, my family moved into Trinity County in 1956. My dad was a logger. I went away, came back, started a little company back in 1995 called Jefferson State Forest Products. We ended up creating jobs for about 55 people. I sold that business a couple of years ago and went back to work part time for the Watershed Center doing economic development.
Okay, now. When we start talking about, I tell you what we're going to do first. We're going to take an early break so we can get into this. But when we come back, we want to talk about the impact that not only just the latest use of public lands has had, but let's take it back to the spotted owl, and where a lot of this started was during that time frame.
when the logging industry was put asunder. So, Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire, Radio KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Join us after these messages. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on an assignment today. Phone lines here are 530-605-4567. We're streaming at KCNR 1460. 8:12 in the morning, January the 25th, 2011. And, you know, at Lumberjacks, it's one of our latest sponsors here, latest advertisers, they have a senior menu. You got to be 55 or older, which means Bad Bob, you've been ready for this for 10 years.
Just
you
qualified.
Can get two entrees for $12, and you can you got to be 55 or older, and you can have salad with that and add a cup of soup for just a little bit more. That's 501 East Cypress. You know, it's another good deal that Lumberjack gives. So two for 12. That's a great deal. 55 or older, no exceptions, and you get pick any two sides along with things like roasted turkey dinner, honey cured ham, sauteed liver and onions. I tell you what, sauteed liver and onions, you'll never have to worry about that at my house. Many people love that, though. I mean, my dad did. Anyway, that's Lumberjacks, 501 East Cypress. That's the senior menu. Okay, our guest, welcome back to our show, the Jungwirths. If I pronounce that right, Lynn and Jim. And what we were talking about and before we left was how Trinity County and other counties like this have changed. And it started with, in your belief, it started with the spotted owl. Can we talk about that?
Sure. Well, in 1996, the Trinity National Forest harvested about 200 million board feet a year out of the National Forest. In a two-year period after the president's plan was initiated, we dropped to 13 million feet, from 220 to 13 million feet.
And this was the plan, is to protect the spotted owl.
The spotted owl. Okay. So ultimately, after that, we lost one of the two mills that were left in Trinity County, Sierra Pacific Industries. We lost about 35% of our blue-collar workforce right there. And those people who decided to stay started looking around for something else to do because they didn't want to leave. And one of the things that came up was what was at the time a fairly small, insignificant marijuana growing organization where people would grow a few plants to smoke and a few extra to sell.
But not especially organized. They weren't.
It was not organized.
Like 10 or 12 or 15 plants in the back, and nobody got too excited about that.
Then 215 was passed, and Trinity County, in its infinite wisdom, decided to up the amount of allowable plants to 99 plants. We were published in High Times, and the first thing
you know... Now, that's 99 plants per recommendation, right?
Yes, right. And so all of a sudden, we had people coming in from out of town everywhere, people buying up property, people pitching tents, because they believed that there was an environment conducive to growing marijuana.
And they were right.
Well, they were right, and... We're also very remote, and we don't have a lot of law enforcement available, and people knew that. And so 215 was created to create loopholes. And there were a lot of them, and some people decided to take advantage of them, and it changed the tenor of our town, changed our town.
So what we've had so is when we had a viable logging industry, or a viable, I guess you could say, more of a, I'm not going to use the word honest because this other one is not illegal, but a more of a mainstream type industry. You know, you didn't really have the problem because everybody had a job. Once the environmental concerns kicked in on the spotted owls, then with the amount of work gone, now people turn to other things. And this is not a surprise. This has happened everywhere.
Right.
You see it. It's not just Trinity County, but I think Trinity County has taken it to a new level.
Well, and at first it was methamphetamines. That was the first thing that came in after the loggers and the sawmillers left. And I would differ with you a little bit. What we see in Trinity County, a lot of that is illegal. These are people who are not growing for the 215 marijuana folks. So these are people who are selling into illegal markets all over the world from Trinity County. And so that is different. That's a different kind of clientele.
Yeah,
it's a different kind of citizen.
Is it a different type of grower, then, would you say?
It's a very different type of grower.
Okay, now, when I went up there and had the county supervisor, Yeagle. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. He took me around. We drove around. And as we were driving down down the road coming into Hayfork, you could see start seeing the groves right there, the groves. Mm-hmm. And he said, now, this guy used to grow like 12 to 15 like you were talking about. He looks around and he sees everybody else is growing hundreds. So he's pushed his productivity way up. And talking to people there, if they have the 215, if they have the recommendations, you're saying is that, okay, that's one group. It's the other group that people are frightened of.
Yeah, and we have a lot of people who moved in, and I tell people they're kind of like hatchery fish in a natural stream. They don't know how to behave. So they're hard on the land. They take water that people need for their houses. You know, they don't contribute to the community as a member of a community. They're there to make money and to get out, and we've seen that.
Pretty much like gold miners who came in because there was an ability to be able to make extraordinary profit, and they didn't particularly care either. And so eventually laws were created that says, wait a minute, you can't blast off this mountaintop. And I think all the communities, rural communities, are now going through that arduous process of saying, okay, if we have to agree that growing some marijuana is legal, how do we do this in such a way that we do not impinge upon the rights of our neighbor?
Well, I understand as they tried to, have they tried to change that 99 plant law?
Well, from what we understand.
This is from the Board of Supervisors that has to do this.
Right,
and
right.
I know Yeagle wanted to cut that back. At least that's what he said.
Well, the Supreme Court recently said you really, according to 215, you cannot tell somebody how much pot they can raise for themselves. Again, I think it's the loophole part. It's the part that says not whether or not you can grow 50 pounds for yourself if you want to smoke 50 pounds. It is if you're only going to smoke 10 pounds and you're going to get rid of 40, then you're doing it for profit. This is about profit. This is not about liberty.
Right. Oh, no, this whole thing is people that believe that everybody that goes in for medicinal marijuana has needs it for some kind of ailment. I mean, that's absolutely false. I mean, even the people that sell it know that, and they've said it.
Well, let me give you some numbers. There was a fellow at one of the Planning Commission meetings the other night, Bernie, and he was a caregiver. He said he had 300 clients, which is a lot, but he estimated 6 ounces per patient per month, which was 3 pounds per year. He said that, according to his information, there was about 700 cardholders in Trinity County. So if you take that 700 cardholders and you multiply it times 3 pounds apiece, that gives you 2,100 pounds. At $3,000 a pound, that's $6.5 million. And yet 2 years ago, the sheriff said that after a flyover and counting of plants in Hayfork, he estimated $76 million worth of pot. If you assume Hayfork had a third of the pot grown in Trinity County, that means we have about $220 million worth of pot on private land. And there's only $6.5 million worth of legitimate consumption. So someplace, $200 million worth of pot's being cashed in for profit. And that doesn't count the public lands. Lynn can tell you about something they do.
Yeah, we need to take a break, because one of the things we were fighting against is, where were the environmental groups when it was proven is that that these people that were going onto the public lands were using illegal pesticides, were clear cutting, were destroying the watersheds, and yet nobody was saying anything except the people that it was affecting. You didn't see all the big environmental groups rolling in there saying, hey, wait a minute, something's got to be done. Got to take a break. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. We're talking about the impact of marijuana cultivation as in Trinity County. And in this case, it's a negative impact. Join us after these messages. You know, our 1460 at home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl and Linda Bott. 8:23 in the morning, January 25th. It's 44 degrees. It's going to be a great day today. 74, probably a new record. Call us at 605-4567, or we're streaming at kcnr1460.com, and you can chat with us. We have Ed on the phone. Ed, good morning. Thanks for waiting. Hello, Ed.
Yes.
Okay, you're on, Ed.
Oh, I'm on.
You're on.
Sorry.
No, that's okay.
The radio on. How you doing?
We're doing great, Ed. You want to talk about cultivation?
Pardon?
You want to talk about cultivation?
Yes, I do. And I first want to throw in the comment I made to Wally Herger. He blessed me, you may recall, on your show just before he did the right-wing terrorist. Legalize it, tax it, and regulate it. I think that's the only solution. I'm a Shasta County property owner, and I've got neighbors the same sort in Trinity Pines, and it's an impossible situation when a non-residential activity occurs in a residential area. And these are the vast majority of people growing dope in Northern California are growing it for commercial purposes. Now, you can't blame people. It's the only way to make a buck in rural Shasta County. But in the long run, this is a very corrosive. This is very corrosive to the community. You know, I've had the problem some of the other people have: people stealing water, people on my property that you don't know who they are. At times, I've met people who do not speak English. I assume they have an incentive to protect their extremely expensive crop, and are armed and may be on my property. And what do you do? Am I going to call the sheriff every time I deal with these people, or have to deal with it myself? You know.
I think
it's not just Trinity County, and I just think you ought to emphasize that the only way to beat this is to take the money out of it, and that's to regulate sales and tax the hell out of it, so you won't have something that you can grow for $10 an ounce selling for $200 or $300 an ounce.
Well, from what I understand, when I was up there, and we've got the experts all, I've got three experts here, obviously, is that a plant can take, 3 pounds? And they were selling 3 pounds of it for, 1,100, was it more than that, 1,100?
Well, $2,000 a pound.
Oh, 2,000, okay, so that's $6,000 a pound. It said, I think in New York City it was even more. So we've
I have heard, though, this is, if there's some good news in this, is because, first off, every year it seems to more or less, it's growing exponentially, it more or less doubles. I've heard the local wholesale price has dropped dramatically the last year. And hopefully it will continue to, because that again is the only way you're gonna end it. Prohibition didn't work on alcohol. When you got a drug that a lot of people like to use, and let's face it, for a lot of people it's harmless, or in the case of medical marijuana, for a small number of people it is, I believe it's truly beneficial. You can't just legalize it and send SWAT teams all out to dig the stuff out. You got to have a rational plan, and again, getting back to it, it's to legalize it, and then they won't be growing it in Trinity Pines or rural California. They'll grow it in fields in the Central Valley, and it'll be an export crop like any other, and we'll get back to living the way we were before, you know.
Okay, Ed. Well, Ed, you know, you always call in with good comments on this. And Jim or Lynn.
But anyway, if your commenters, I don't know if they would agree, or do they have another solution?
Yeah,
I'd like to hear it. That's the only one I can see.
Well, I think you're right, but I think if you are going to legalize it, you're going to have to legalize it in the neighboring states, because they're just going to export it. And so as long as you have, you know, the neighboring states where it is not legal, then you're going to have to deal with the legal growing of marijuana in California that's going to go across the border. So all those Snoop stations are going to go onto the other side of the road. Because they're going to have to figure out how to keep this stuff from going into areas that it's not legal.
And
that's entirely true, but it's going over the border from Mexico now.
No kidding.
And it's coming out of California now. It's just a matter of the difference is the economic incentive is far higher, because if you had it grown and regulated at a reasonable tax level, you know, it probably would be a little bit cheaper on the retail level, because it's so cheap to grow this stuff on a field. It's just a weed, you know. It'd be like growing any other crop. But it's no solution to say we keep it illegal. And I want to point out to you that I think close to half the states now have more or less the same medical marijuana exemptions. This is happening in other states too. And the only thing about California, and Northern California in particular, is we're just a little bit ahead of the curve here, because it's been legal more or less for, I guess, about 10 years now.
Okay. Hey, Ed, we've got a break here in like a minute, but thanks for your phone call. Here, my only question would be on this is, if you grew it legally and if you take it out of the neighborhoods, you still got to keep it at a certain level because there's only so much you know that people say, okay, I need it here. This is what we, it still would be illegal to ship across, just like you said. So people would still be growing it illegally to ship it out. Okay, we got about a minute left. Okay, Jim, and with a minute left here, you know, we go back to the use of public lands.
Go ahead, Lynn.
We
we'll come back on this afterwards. Sure. So, I mean, we've still got like 30 seconds. So just a quick one here.
Okay, so we commissioned a little study to see if we could estimate what was grown on the public lands in Trinity County, your national forest.
Right.
About last year, the estimate was $1.6
billion. $1.6
billion. Illegal marijuana grown
in Trinity County.
On public lands,
public
on
land.
Your national forest.
In Trinity County.
That was not caught.
That was not. Okay. We got to take a break here. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. We're talking about illegal activity and impact on the community up in Trinity County. And, I can imagine it's the same here. Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's 44 degrees, and it's January 25th, 2011. Phone lines here are 530-605-4567. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. That's right off Athens Avenue. DC Tim and the Man in Black. Great haircuts, great prices. They give discounts for veterans. They support our community. They support our veterans in the community. Not only that, they don't do hairstyling. They do haircuts. That's right, just haircuts. Man's last stronghold. You go in there, heads on the wall. That's right, antelope, deer, and some I've never seen before in my life. I'm not sure what those were. But that's right down at Cypress Square Barbershop, right off Athens Avenue. Try it. You will. I think you're going to like it. You go on down there and talk to them. Our guest today, Lynn and Jim Jungwirth, they're from Trinity County, and they've been talking about public land use and the violations on it with the growth on public lands in the forest. It's illegal. Growth of marijuana, and I believe Lynn, you said how much when you left last time?
$1.6 billion.
$1.6 billion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On the public lands in just Trinity County.
Yes.
So you could buy Trinity County essentially for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you could grow anything you want because it's your private property. Okay.
Except trees for logging.
That's right. You know what those? You know those trees? Those are danger
those
out there.
Dangerous.
Danger!
Yeah.
Danger!
Yeah.
Will Robbins. Okay, let's go to the phones. Indy guy.
Hey, Carl, how you doing?
We're doing great. How are you?
Good. I just wanted to call and say, what do you think of Keith Olbermann being fired?
Well, I think it was one of the happiest days of my life, but that's just, I've talked about it earlier today and said that I thought that he said mean things about people, and he constantly attacked other people for things that he was doing. So, I think that MSNBC hung their star on these guys, and they found out that it was a huge mistake.
Oh, why didn't they see it coming?
Well, they should have, and I think they did it at during the election. But do you have a comment for our guest on the on what's going on up in Trinity County in the marijuana growth?
I don't do marijuana myself. I haven't since I was a teenager.
They said $1.6 billion worth of marijuana was grown in Trinity County on public lands last year.
My question is, why aren't they getting tax dollars out of that?
Yep.
Well, I think it's because the Chinese, Russian, and Mexican cartels don't pay taxes.
The Mexican cartel is getting away with what they're doing because our president isn't securing our borders.
I don't know. You know, we have Chinese forced laborers on public lands growing marijuana. We have Russians. I don't know where they come from. I don't know how you secure the border. Well, all I can tell you is that the problem there is not only that you have this criminal activity in the forest, but the environmental degradation that happens from that kind of grow is unbelievable.
Well, the cartels are out of Mexico.
Well, I think what we're hearing is that, you know, a lot of them are, but not all of them, because this is what we're going to address here next, Indy Guy. So hey, thanks for the phone call. And, yes, I was very happy. And not only that, Rahm Emanuel can't run for mayor of Chicago.
Yeah, another
big day.
Plus.
Okay, thanks a lot, Indy Guy.
Okay, bye.
Okay, now, one of the things was a question from the chat room, which was I thought was good, was, do you feel threatened by what's going on up there? Are people threatening in manner or words?
Well, I think so. I think that people are obviously very paranoid about somebody coming in and ripping off their plants, because there they are sitting there, and they're not easily hidden when you have 100 or 200 of them. But secondly, that at some point in time they get paranoid, and so there are lots of attack type dogs, pit bulls. There, when you go up into Trinity Pines by 4 o'clock, you start hearing a lot of automatic weapons going off.
Now, is this something just to kind of like, hey, we're armed up here, don't come around type thing?
I think so. And we had a home invasion for one of the very first times this year in Hay Fork, where five people came up, waited for this couple to come home, tied them up, took their marijuana and their cash, and left them tied up for 5 hours. And that's the sort of thing that's kind of astounding for Hay Fork. I mean, that's
now, were these people they tied up, were these like longtime residents of Hay Fork, or were these like some more growers that had just come in for the season?
They were residents, but they were resident growers. You know, we have lots of different kinds of growers, as you might imagine.
Yeah, but these are people that, I mean,
who live there. Yeah,
who live there. Okay, yeah. Now that's different, as opposed to we talking about these carpetbaggers that come into our county and just grow during the season and take the money and run. Okay, well.
And so, and don't forget, we've switched now mainly to retirees. And so you have retirees who come up out of the city. They want to kind of come live in a small town. They're not big and brawny and ready to fight. They get a grower who's scary next door to them with dogs and guns and intimidates them a little bit. And the next thing you know is they want to leave and take their money with them.
Sure.
Or they find out they can't leave because they can't sell their house to somebody who doesn't want to live next to a marijuana plant.
Yeah, and we've got to take a break now. But I ran into that when I was up there on my fact-finding mission and talked to a lady, sweet lady, breaks down in tears. And she doesn't seem like like somebody to do that. Because I was standing in her house and looking, and on three sides she was surrounded by growth, marijuana groves. And she said, who would buy my house now? Who would buy my property? I want to get out of here. This is just, the odor, the goings on and everything. Nobody threatened her or anything like that. But who wants to buy my house? Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. What's going on in Trinity County can happen right here in Shasta County, unless we're pretty watchful. Welcome back, Fire Media. Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl on the bot. Linda's on assignment. This portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite, right off of Liberty Street at 1346. Puts in Dish Satellite. Does a great job. Doug Tooley. His phone number is 244-1988. Give Doug a call if you want Dish Satellite. We use them at our house, and we're very, very pleased with the professionalism of he and his crew. 244-1988. Our guest, and we're so happy to have them, and this is not the last time that we're going to have them on, is Jim and Lynn Jungworth from Trinity County. They've been talking about the impact of this marijuana, the illegal growth of marijuana, and probably even partially be legal growth has had on their county. Now, before we get to John, tell me what you just said again about the kids in high school and the logging and the sawmill there?
Well, I happened to talk to the mill manager at Trinity River Lumber the other day because they started back up, which we were all very pleased at.
Yeah.
And he said, I hold Trinity County, the county of Trinity, responsible for the fact that I am having a hell of a time being able to keep a drug-free environment. They have produced an atmosphere that is conducive to making a lot of money easy. And so I can't find as many people to work as I historically have found. And I know the same was true in Hay Fork, where Lynn, who puts out youth crews every summer to help the youth understand about resources, we had a hell of a time finding enough kids because they just said, I'm a pot tender. I don't need your job because I can make easy money.
I can make lots of money doing that. Right?
Right. And so we have a seniors class, you know, to help prepare kids to go out into the world. And so what they're telling is many of them, not all of them, we got some really great kids.
Absolutely great. I understand that.
But what many of them are telling the teachers is they don't need to go on and get any training. They're just going to stay home and do the family business of growing pot.
You know, John, you're on.
Good morning.
Did you just hear that? Did you just hear that?
I did. And it's not just the fact that they're tending the family plots and taking care of the growing as keeping them from being unemployed. Most of them can't pass the drug test necessary to work in the mills.
Well, I'm sure that's probably it. Right. But you know, it's when we talk about if there's no there's no opportunity for them to better themselves, then they're going to turn to the pot growing. Well, now it's even if you offer the jobs, you know, working in a sawmill is not an easy job.
No,
maybe working in, tending
your pot plants
is an easier job and it pays you more. I mean, this is ridiculous.
I've got three questions for Jim and Lynn. Good morning, Jim and Lynn. How are you?
Good morning.
Good.
First of all, marijuana has a definable heat signature. It's identifiable by satellite scan. Why do you think the DEA is not acting on this intel and shutting down these large grows?
Well, I think that's an excellent question. We just elected a new sheriff, and one of the conversations that has been going on in the community is, why don't we have a closer relationship with the federal and even the state agencies that says the only thing, this is still illegal, the only part that we will not prosecute is the legitimate 215 cardholder. To tell you the truth, when you're talking about $1.7 billion worth of pot, you would think it would get somebody's attention in the state.
Well, unfortunately, if I may interject something here, Jim, it seems like our president directed his attorney general not to prosecute and not to forward cases from the state into federal prosecution for marijuana. And I think that the thought that was intended when that came out was people sitting in their front room smoking a joint wouldn't be prosecuted. But it seems to have lapped over into these illegal immigrant grows that are taking place in our federal land. They're not prosecuting those either. They're not. The DEA doesn't seem like it's paying any attention to it based on this same thing. And I think a serious disservice to America and the American citizens was made by the president when he made that statement.
And the state of California and the local
and the
law enforcement people. So, you know, what's happened in Trinity County is everyone's turned their back on us. And so as local citizens, we've worked with the county supervisors to see if we can use land use planning as a way to begin to get some control over this.
And I'm pretty encouraged, actually, with the Planning Commission. I was on the Planning Commission until recently, and I'm pretty encouraged with the thoughtfulness by which they are approaching this. They approached the aggregate grows first, which is what they should.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hopeful. I think they delivered a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors that's going to be voted on here very soon that says no aggregate grows in rural residential. And we're hopeful that they're also going to say, and those rural residential grows must be only for personal use. You can only have one grow, no matter how many cards you have.
Yeah.
Now, and it's going to be a limit on the square footage of that grow.
Now, that to me sounds very reasonable, you know, because that talks about people's, in that, you know, where they're inhabiting an area. This is their land and all that. Your supervisor, I know Yeager will go for that. What about Morris, Judy Morris? And what do you think that the Board of Supervisors are going to go along with this?
I think so. I think that they never in their wildest dreams thought what has happened would happen.
Uh-huh.
I think they're hearing from a lot of people that we need this to get under control, and I think they're looking for a sane way out of this. So,
but we're really, if I may interject, Lynn, aren't we really looking at apples and oranges here? The local grows by residents of Trinity County, legal residents of Trinity County is one thing, but these enormous illegal immigrant grows that are taking place, the ones that are being tended on the outskirts of the forest there, are entirely another thing. Well, I'm kind of interested in what you folks see as a viable resolution to this problem, how you think this thing could resolve itself for real.
Okay, but we've got to take a break first because we're running out of time here, John. So
okay, I'm gonna bail, Carl.
Okay, because we got other people on the line
to talk with these folks.
Okay, yeah, and we're gonna have them back again if they want to come down here again.
Thanks so much.
All right, this is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment today. It's 55 already. It's going to be 74 today, January 20. Yeah, July 25th. It's January 25th. What's going on? This portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive, finest walk-in cigar and humidor in the state. Espresso Joe's, great coffee, great people there. Joe and Shelley support our community. Local business, been around for 30 years. That's Tobacco and Brew on 2143 Hilltop Drive. Our guest, Lynn and Jim Jungworth, and they're talking about what's happened out in Trinity County. Let's go to the phones. Jay, you've been on.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Fine, we just got a couple minutes, Jay.
Gotcha. You know, when I was a boy, I lived in Hayfork, and it breaks my heart to hear this. You know, just yet another consequence of the Spotted Owl debacle. Not only did it take all the honest people out of the forest, but now it's getting denuded by the dishonest people. It's just, it's heartbreaking to see because, you know, I still have friends there, and they update me on what's going on. It's like the Wild West out there. People getting driven off the property out in Trinity Pines. Wells are being poisoned. Buildings are being shot down. Robberies. I mean, burned down, But then there's robberies. I mean, this has got to be taken control of quickly. This is not Mexico. This is Trinity County.
This is the United States, and we, you know what? The last time I looked, is that we owned this property, and the people that are destroying the lives of law-abiding citizens who choose not to grow marijuana on their property, it just doesn't seem right. And it isn't right. And I would yell for the sheriff, since they have a new sheriff, to see what he's going to do. Anyway, Jay, thanks a lot.
Thank you for putting a spotlight on it.
You bet. This isn't the only time. We're going to, Jim and Lynn have said they'll come back. Okay, we've just got a few minutes left. What do you want to hit real hard here?
Well, I think the question is there a definition for a citizen grower? Is there somebody who is a legitimate caregiver or a legitimate 215 grower for himself who is going to respect the rights of his neighbors, who realizes that he... it does not have the right to take away freedoms from other people, who participates in the Little League, who goes to the school play, who goes to church if that's what they want to do, and who becomes part of the community. Right now, our community is fractionalized because we have such a high population who so far has said they don't really care about that fabric. All they care about is the money. And so I'm hopeful that maybe with these ordinances, if we can enforce them, and I think that is a separate question, if we can enforce them, can we end up with a residual citizen grower that we are willing to be able to acknowledge and accept into our community as a real contributing citizen?
A citizen grower.
Yeah.
Yeah. I understand it. So this is somebody that grows for himself and or herself that may not be their main job, in fact. It shouldn't be if they're a citizen grower. If it's just for themselves, is that what you're looking at?
Yeah. Well, even if you've got somebody that grows for two or three people,
right.
You know, on agricultural ground, so he's
right.
Not going to be within 50 feet of the neighbor, who says, "I get it. I'll follow the laws, just like you would if you were a wine grower. You know, if you make wine,
just
you've got
like
all these
anything
laws.
Anything else that's growing? Yeah.
Anything else? I mean, it's it's agriculture. It's also a controlled substance." Isn't there a way that we can figure out how to do that so that we don't have this extraordinary impact?
There's got to be laws in Trinity County here in Shasta County, you can't even plow your own land without some kind of permit.
Well, and we have a great model in California that everyone's familiar with, and those are vineyards that are wineries. You grow a crop, you turn it into a controlled substance, which is alcohol. It's regulated. You pay your taxes.
Sure.
Your workers get workers' comp.
It's subject
to review.
It's
a legitimate business.
Yeah. Okay, so if you're going to grow, then you should fall under this. You know, I you believe that that's where Trinity County may be heading to, is this with the new proposals from the Planning Commission and at the Board of Supervisors. Now, when are they going to vote on these things?
Well, I think sometime during the month of February.
During the month of February. Now, if I can ask you all to do this,
be our correspondents there, without getting you any type of trouble or anything. But just please keep us informed about what's going on, so that when this time around for this vote comes, is that let's follow this, because that to me seems reasonable. That, you know, I frankly don't care if you're growing marijuana for yourself and or, you know, your close friends there or whatever, but you don't. Your right to do that ends where it infringes on the rights of your neighbors.
That's right.
And that's it. That's what we're about here, is personal liberty. Okay. Well, Jim and Lynn Jungwirth, I can't thank you enough. I know it's a long drive to come down here in the morning. You've said things here that have just been astounding to me, but especially about our children. How they're looking at the easy way of doing it. They're watching what their parents are doing. It's hard for people to find workers, because with the easy way of making money like that. And some people say, oh, it's not easy growing marijuana. Well, I have a feeling it's a lot easier than working in the sawmill.
Yeah, and we'd prefer not to turn into a third world country.
Yeah. You know, how long have you all lived there?
I've lived there since 1956.
56? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. You know, you've got skin in the game there, that's for sure.
Yeah, we're not leaving.
No. Yeah. Good. And don't leave. And thank you so much for the information and for the time. And this is something else we can continue to kind of, you know, beat the drums on. So good. Thank you. Thank you very much for
Thanks
being
a lot.
Here. Okay. This week, Assemblyman Nielsen's going to be here. We're going to have, it'll be on Friday. We've got, a full week here. The latest blog on the Record Searchlight is about the Missing in America project that, with Fred Salanti and everything they've done for our country, not just for around here. And a link to them, if you just go to Reading.com and look for Time Under the Helmet, the blog that I write for them. When you're out there, just remember that, you know, that about your neighbors. And, you know, something like this today, we kind of drove it home. Remember it's your neighbors, and remember that your rights end at where their rights begin. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. What are you?
Thank you for listening to KCNR Shasta Reading.